This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin. You've got Corey Majors. You have the famous Mike Bassick and Alec Medford. Gentlemen, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Hey,
Corey's ready to intimidate today.
Oh.
I don't know, man.
Are you?
No, you're not. That's not intimidation. That sounds like submission.
Well,
what's wrong? There's a wreck on 75. I dealt with it too. I was at Norma's. Great breakfast at Norma's.
That was a beating, dude. I sat for 40 minutes from Northwest Highway to Henderson.
It took me 32 minutes from Norma's Cafe to get here.
Four exits?
Yeah.
Hey.
But I got to listen to a lot more of Sean and Bobby and Peyton's show. Do you think
when people get in wrecks like that, and I saw the wreck. It wasn't a major wreck. Obviously, four cars dinged each other up. But, and maybe it was worse than that when I drove by. Maybe it was.
Okay, I did see some cars with dents. But that was about it.
Do you think they feel bad that they ruined everybody's morning?
No clue. They're getting cussed at and yelled at by everybody, but they don't have a clue. They're so involved. And this isn't a bad thing.
Who do you think was on their phone?
They are involved. They're involved in their situation. They're calling their family. They're calling their bosses. Hey, look, I'm going to be late. I might not make it in today. I was in a wreck. They're calling insurance companies.
All the Frankels.
They don't care. Exactly. They got to call the Frankels first.
Yeah, their life isn't easy peasy after what happened.
Yeah. So that's how it is.
But man, do they cause a backup in traffic.
You said people are yelling and cursing at them. Is that internal or in their car?
Both.
Or do you think people like roll down their window
and flip them the bird?
Man.
I do sometimes.
Oh my gosh.
Especially if I don't see enough carnage. I told you, dude, I've always told you this. If I'm going to have to sit in the traffic for that long, I want to see something. I want to see some headlights laying on the ground. I don't want a death. I really don't want death. But I do want to see a car that's upside down. You know, like that's yesterday on my drive home, two wrecks on the highway on the drive home. It took me an hour to get home on a 30-minute drive.
In Italy, they just sweep it off the road as fast as they can. And they're like, hey, we only have two lanes here. We got to get this lane cleared in 30 minutes.
And that's probably not the right mindset. But there's been a couple times when it's been a wreck in the far like right lane towards an exit. I'm like, he couldn't have.
Yeah.
Just
pull it over to the shoulder. Yeah.
But I'm sure you think about a lot of different things in that scenario. Not, hey, what can I do to help out the flow of traffic?
Like, we got a big fire truck here. Can it block 3 to 4 lanes? Yes, it can.
It can. And if we get two of them, whole highway shut down. Yeah.
You're like, my day is effed. Your day is going to be effed.
I do like this from the 469 because I've done this before where I've driven by. I was in Plano. They were doing construction. They take out sections of the roads. Kevin, you know, you've been.
Yes.
They take out whole sections. So there's just a big chunk of the middle lane gone. And this dude was, his car was stuck in it. And I rolled the window down and was like, hey, you can't park there. And he was like, I know, a-hole.
Are you embarrassed?
Funny. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, a little bit.
So, oh my God.
For the guy that got the wreck, Kevin.
Okay, good.
Should have seen.
Good, good, good.
There's a hole there.
Something that has not been embarrassing. Let's go ahead and kick it off with cut number 5. We're going to start by talking about the Dallas Stars.
Steele gets his first of this season, his second point. Stars right back to work. They score again. Wyatt Johnston. Bang, bang. 13 seconds apart. Blink of an eye, it's 2-0.
And we also have a Stankoven highlight that we may or may not get to, but I wanted to spotlight those among others and just kind of talk about what do you guys feel like you've learned about the Stars and perhaps their youngsters thus far? Because I've been very impressed.
I guess I've learned that they didn't fall off. What, 3 of the last 5 years, Western Conference Finals with the Stanley Cup addition to that, and like they are continuing under the greatness of Jim Nill. To be guided in the right direction. Very patient with what he does. Doesn't overreact to anything, but knows that he's trying to build a multi-decade dynasty.
But now,
the dynasty, obviously, you have to win the championships.
Yeah.
But that's what he wants. It's not just about the right now. And the youngsters on this team, Kevin, are contributing already, but look like they have a long future with this franchise.
I agree. Now, something interesting that DeBoer came out and said was, he goes, I can tell you I was worried about the start. Two long runs to the conference finals. You're always worried about a hangover, whether the tank will be half full. And so he's already encouraged by the fact that they've gotten off to a good start, especially considering the lengthy playoff runs that they've had the last couple of years. You got Ottinger locked up, and I think it was DeBoer, maybe Nil as well, excuse me, that said he thinks Stankoven and Johnston can still be 1 point per game players. And that's, I'm not saying that's rare as in like only five in the league, but those aren't easy to find. And if you've got it with two of your younger players, and also i.e. two of your, at least for now, more affordable players, that would be a huge benefit to this team.
I don't know this because it won't be really known until playoffs and potential Western Conference final, Stanley Cup final, cup holding. The older players on the team, are they still great contributors to this? The Jamie Benns, like, when we talk about Jamie Benn, it's like one night, two nights, maybe through the series.
Okay, so
I'm
are you
trying to figure that part out, though.
Okay,
I think the young guys are going to contribute. Can the older players carry that when it gets to the biggest part of the season?
I do think they can, because like if you look at last year's playoff run, Roope was a disappointment in the playoffs. I feel like he would readily admit that to you. And so Ben and Sagan were both in your top five in terms of point scorers in the playoffs. So if you're talking about like the times that matter the most, both of those guys were there. And then I know what you'll hear a lot of is the intangibles and the leadership and everything like that. So I'm putting that aside for now, though that is important. You're talking about who can help me put goals on the board.
I need speed and I need hits and I need goals.
Okay. That first one I can't help you with Ben and Sagan. I mean, like, I'm not saying they're both slow. I'm just, that would maybe not be where I would look for speed.
They're more like Jason Kidd with the Mavs, where they need to change their game just slightly so that they can help contribute.
They're very smart.
Yeah.
That's what I...
High hockey IQ.
Yeah.
They use that a lot.
Exactly. And so if you get that combination going, that's encouraging. The young players are doing well. Like I already said, you got Ottinger locked up to an extension. There are a lot of positive things happening early in the season.
I think the other thing that you, like, I think this goes to kind of what I said before. The culture that the Stars have built is the right one for continued excellence and winning. Because it's like you walk into it and you're like, I know what's expected of me. I know how we need to perform. And I know that I'm here because I can do this job.
Well,
I think that's important.
With that in mind, we go to the Athletic. The top 10 front offices in all of hockey. 40 executives voted. Who are the best run teams in all of the NHL?
Donald Fear.
That,
what is that?
Huh? Side of the Players Association.
That's not a team.
It used to be with MLB.
Yes, not a team. I'm looking for teams here as opposed to individual NHL front office people.
Are the Bruins on this list?
The Boston Bruins.
Heck yeah.
Are that. Number five on the list.
Theo Epstein.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that my is, God.
No, he said Theo.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, my bad.
Jeez.
All I heard was...
Sometimes I feel really bad if you have, like, a last name and then somebody else corrupts your last name. And you're like, I promise.
I was just doing...
I'm a normal person. We won a World Series.
Is Florida?
Florida.
Heck yeah.
Florida.
Number three.
Derek
on
Jeter.
The list. What did you say?
Derek Jeter.
Okay.
He used to be a general manager for the Marlins.
It's true. What else do you know about Derek Jeter?
Oh, he gives out sometimes.
Don't say it. No.
Okay.
Sometimes there's a big rumor that he might have had something.
All right, Alec, just so we can avoid this, Panthers are three, Boston Bruins are five. Any other top NHL run franchise?
I mean, there's a low-hanging fruit that I really want to take, but I don't want to take it.
Is it a shape?
Yes, it is, actually. And it's something that I'm trying to buy for the show.
Look, whatever makes you happy. If buying a star makes you happy,
yes!
Knock yourself out.
Nice, Alec!
You just made the list!
The Dallas Stars, did they make the top five? Let's find out. Boston Bruins, 5. Vegas.
I was going to say Vegas and Colorado. What about the Kings?
They got Gretzky, and that was a big get.
That was a long time ago. He's not even, it's not even close to being with that franchise anymore.
Tell me how big that was.
He played for like 3 or 4 other teams, and then he went and coached a different team.
If that's the case, then, Kevin, why do we always still talk about Gretzky whenever we talk about hockey?
I know, but you don't. But you don't talk about the Los Angeles Kings.
No, we talk about Gretzky.
Florida Panthers are 3.
I'll tell you what. So far, the Utah Hockey Club, they've only lost one game in their franchise history.
You know, unfortunately, right now, they're not on the list. Tampa Bay is 2.
Did you say Colorado?
Colorado is 6.
Okay. All right. So, that kind of rounds out to what I thought.
The Dallas Stars.
San Jose hasn't even won a game.
Are 1. They got by far the most first place votes, almost double the first place votes that Florida and Tampa did, and hence they have the most points overall. So that's probably not surprising. You talked about the run to the Cup. You talked about 2 straight conference finals. It's probably not surprising to see a team that's consistently had playoff success, albeit short of the ultimate success in the last 25, 26 years. I have to admit, I'm not surprised to see them at the top of the list.
No, man. Nil's patience and what he's built over this time, keeping key players around that still had it, but also Pavelski was done, right?
I agree.
They knew it, and they didn't stick around with it. They let him make that decision, but they were like, look, man, we got to know when to cut ties and when to keep sticking with something, and I thought that was a smart move on their part.
Now, do you want to throw in a little bit of Mavs right here?
Sure.
Okay. Basketball starts tonight. I know Sean really wanted to talk about that in our crosstalk. Sorry, we didn't get to it. But on the basketball front, how are we feeling about the extension of Jaden Hardy? So Jaden Hardy gets a 3-year, $18 million extension. Interesting enough, along in this mix, Quentin Grimes did not get a rookie scale extension. He will still be a restricted free agent after the season. So I'm not saying he's going to walk or anything like that. There's a lot to learn with him, but he does not get the rookie extension while Jaden Hardy does get the rookie extension.
I love it. Now, I would have loved if Grimes wanted to take a 3-year, $18 million deal total. I would have done that too. I have no clue what Grimes wanted. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
We had no clue that they were working on a Hardy
deal
behind the scenes.
That's fair.
$6 million is $5 million less than the mid-level exception. So the average salary in the NBA is approximately $11 million a player. And he got 6 a year. So you have him this year at, I don't know, a million something.
Yeah.
And then you have 3 more years if you keep him at $6 million. And if not, that is such a tradable contract. To me, this is an awesome job by Nico Harris and the front office to get this done now for a guy who has the potential. I don't think it would be with the Mavericks, but has the potential to be a 6th man of the year and a 20-point guy a game. That's high level, right? I'm hitting his ceiling here, but great job getting a guy who should be going into his senior year of college this year.
Do you think Nico Harrison and company, oddly, did a good thing last year in terms of limiting some of his playoff time, some of his playing time? Because, like,
I agree.
I don't either. I think it, like, sort of ended up working out for them because they were like, hey, 3 for 18, pretty fair. And he's like, okay, well, I've struggled to get a whole lot of playing time. Why the hell not?
Yeah, I like it. And then my son asked me this question last night, which I thought was a heck of a question. So I'll throw it out to you. Do you think this guarantees Hardy's playing every game? Like it guaranteed for him now a rotational spot?
I think for now. Because I think, Kevin, in this situation, if A, you want to pay him to perform, but B, you want to pay him to reach that value.
Yeah.
If not a little bit more. And if he reaches that value and another team comes to you and says, we have to have Jaden Hardy, that contract is just too good for us to pass up. We need that player. Then you have some leverage. You'll be 100-0 in that one.
When Giannis comes to Dallas.
Okay.
See what I'm saying?
If you mean as a visiting player, maybe. If you mean he will be part of the Dallas Mavericks.
I can't believe how much you don't want Giannis on this team.
It's not going to happen unless
we also said it wouldn't. Somebody told me once that Clay wouldn't be a Maverick. Guess what?
I mean, he is.
All you had to do is get new ownership and things start happening.
Everything changed.
Okay, I'll try to keep it simple like this.
Yeah, this isn't the Mark Cuban-led team
anymore,
Kevin.
Within the next year and a half, I do not believe Luka and Giannis will be on the same Mavericks team in Dallas.
Oh, so now you're trying to say that Luka's going to get traded away and
no.
play with Giannis somewhere.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow, thanks, but, hey, Kevin.
This was, I think, a great job by the Mavs to get a potential valuable player in the NBA, a role player, for so much less money. And think about what nobody thought. By the way, people forget this. Jalen Brunson was not that good going into his last year with the Dallas Mavericks. He got locked down by Nicholas Batum. And they are like, we can't even play him. He can't even do anything in the playoffs against the Clippers defense. And he took off. And then he freaking got maxed out. I'm not saying that's what Jaden Hardy was going to do. But what if Hardy does come off? What if you do feel like he's supposed to play 20 to 24 minutes a night and averages 13 points, shooting 42% from three, and they're looking at this 21, 22-year-old now as a restricted free agent, like, dude, we're not going to be able to afford him because somebody's going to give him a four-year, $80 million contract that's like a crap team that's just trying to develop. They're like, why not steal him? The Mavericks can't offer him 20 a year.
Look, I would like that. I'm really curious how much time he actually gets throughout the season. Like, will he get more than 15 minutes a game? Will it be closer to 20 minutes a game? I hope so, just because I want to see his development, especially now that you've got him as part of your team for the next 4 years, at least. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, how many of the current top 10 quarterbacks will actually be top 10 at the end of the season? Plus, we power rank the NFL power rankings next on The Fan.
Third and long for Darnold, taking a shot for Jefferson!
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Man, from the 817. Kevin, I love you, man, but the Stars and Luka hate aren't good positions to take in the DFW. I hate neither of both of either of them.
Hey, Alec, can you do me a favor? And this was a suggestion from the Twolos, and we take lots of suggestions from the fan text and the YouTube and the Twolos and our Twitters. Somebody suggested if you could just take that clip of Kevin saying that Luka and Giannis will never play together and just hold on to that one for a while. Just in case.
Man, we're
going to
cut out all of those specifics, are we? That's
Hey, you know how this works, Kevin.
That's true.
You've been part of this business for a while.
So I had a question about who's leading the way in terms of quarterbacks thus far. Do you want to start with that or do you want to go to the power rankings?
Let's go to quarterbacks, man. Right. I like that conversation.
Okay, so we usually on Wednesday will kind of break down, you know, top 10 quarterbacks or the worst quarterbacks and all this and that. So before this weekend's game, I was looking at it, and we can go back through this line by line, but there's an unusual amount, it feels like, of quarterbacks at the top of the list that
you wouldn't expect.
Yeah, and I'm guessing that no one will think will be there at the end. So
Baker Mayfield, namingly.
Okay.
Right?
And if you looked at the QBR of quarterbacks going into this weekend, the top 10 look like this. Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Jaden Daniels, Joe Flacco, Brock Purdy, Lamar Jackson, CJ Stroud, Kyler Murray, Andy Dalton, and Derek Carr.
Andy Dalton?
Yeah.
Last night's game for Lamar bumped him up, by the way.
Oh, my
gosh.
He's
second right now.
Okay.
Yeah, his game definitely put him in good position.
That was an incredible game. And then you see CBS Sports, their quarterback power rankings had, you know, Jared Goff and Sam Darnold ahead of Patrick Mahomes. We've talked about just the statistical reasons for that. So I'm curious when you, like, let's run down the other power ranking quarterback list. Because that list I just went through, I think maybe six of those stick in the top 10. On the CBS one, Lamar, Joe Burrow, Brock Purdy, Josh Allen. So not crazy at the start. But then Baker Mayfield, Jaden Daniels, CJ Stroud, Jordan Love, Jared Goff, and Sam Darnold. I'm still maybe at about six or seven of those that I think will be in the top 10 when all is said and done. But
Brock Purdy third?
Yeah, Brock Purdy's on my list for sure.
Okay. Yeah.
Lamar, Joe Burrow, Brock
Purdy. This is CBS's top 10?
Yes.
Well, I'm surprised that he didn't get knocked for how he played against Kansas City.
This is last week.
Yeah, so we're about to see where he gets knocked.
Exactly. I'm sure he will. I'm sure Lamar will stay at the top.
I was mishearing you. I thought you were saying at the end of the year,
yes,
6 of 10 of these guys will be on the list.
And that's where I need some help. And I want to get y'all's feedback and I want to ask the people. Because I still think I'm more likely to say Brock Purdy is going to be in the top 10 than Sam Darnold is going to be in the top 10. But like what you see on the field right now and from the teams, that doesn't really back it up. Now I'm starting to wonder, could Jared Goff be in the top 5? Like I'm trying to I'm trying to redefine my quarterback expectations, and I want to see where you guys are at with like your Kylers, your Jadens, and
I think Jaden will be in the top 10 at the end of the year if he can stay healthy. We're already seeing that he doesn't know how to protect his body against grown men.
Week to week, yeah.
So Brock Purdy, this will be interesting. The reason he wasn't in the top 10 at the beginning of this year is everybody's like, it's not him. It's Ayuk. It's Debo.
Yep.
It's Christian McCaffrey. He literally has none of those guys on his team anymore for the most part. Debo might come back.
Yeah, we'll see about Debo.
McCaffrey maybe, I don't know, Thanksgiving or something. I don't know. But if he does lead this team to, let's say, which would be almost impossible at this point, 12 wins, because they already have 4 losses, right?
Yes.
Yeah, 4. So let's just say he gets them to 11-6, and he's missing Ayuk for the year. He's missing McCaffrey for most of the year. Wouldn't you at that point have to say, oh, crap, it's him,
yes,
not them?
And I know historically that does not get you the MVP, but I would be sitting there thinking, well, damn.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting list. You have the list for this week now already?
No, that usually didn't come out till Tuesday or Wednesday. Or Wednesday. I'm sorry. Today is Tuesday. Hey, I'll get it together. Usually comes out on Wednesday.
Okay.
So we'll pick that apart.
Yeah.
We'll pick that apart tomorrow. But
you didn't name Jordan Love in the top 10, did you?
So that was,
okay.
I was going through my list, Kevin, and I have Allen, who, by the way, 0 interceptions for Josh Allen. How did he?
All year?
Yeah. How did he change? And he's only given up, 9 sacks? He's tied with Lamar Jackson.
Wow, is that right? That's pretty impressive.
9 sacks. I mean, I think Jordan Love's only given up 7, but he was injured.
But compare, Jordan Love has 8 interceptions.
But I have him 3rd.
Ooh, okay.
Jordan Love, because of he's lethal arm talent. He's lethal whenever he's trying to score. Now, he will turn the ball over. That's a bit of a problem. He's got 8 interceptions, but he's, like I said, 7 sacks. But he is lethal when it comes to scoring and getting the ball downfield. And his connection with those receivers is very good. So I have him 3rd right now. And I got Daniels at 4. Obviously, injuries thing. I don't know if he'll be there at the end of the year. We got to figure that out. But then I kind of look at the rest of the bunch and I'm like, Joe Burrow doesn't excite me right now. His numbers are really good compared to the rest of the numbers in the NFL. But their team's not winning.
Okay. Mike, I'm going to tell you something that is probably going to make you think that QBR is a fraudulent stat.
Okay.
I'm just going to warn you. But right now, if you look at the QBR right now, 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th is Kyler Murray, Derek Carr, Trevor Lawrence, and Jalen Hurts.
Trevor Lawrence.
See, I tried to warn you that you would not care for this stat. And I guess I'm in a position where I don't particularly view any of those quarterbacks
so
as
QBR
likely to be in the top 10.
So QBR doesn't care at all about if you win or lose the game.
I think that does feel like a fair
it's
way
it's almost
to put
like
it.
They're trying to put it as like ERA, but ERA is a basic stat. Like it's not very hard to understand ERA. QBR is like it's fake. It's a made up deal. Where somebody made up a formula.
ESPN invented QBR, I do believe.
But I do like it. I do think it gives you an idea when sometimes you have a guy whose record isn't good, but you're like, well, maybe his team, I don't know, because I can't defend Trevor Lawrence, but maybe you can defend another couple guys on that list.
Jared Goff's completion percentage is amazing. 73.6. I think I heard the stat that their offense has scored more touchdowns than he's thrown in completions in the last 3 games. His completion percentage is still behind Jaden Daniels. That's what I think is still like kind of amazing is how good we had what game that was perfect for him.
Yes.
And then we had another game that was nearly perfect for him. And he's still behind Daniels, the rookie, who's putting in a really good year.
And he's 15th in QBR.
Yeah.
Which makes, no part of me that thinks Trevor Lawrence is having a better season than Jared Goff.
But he's having a better year than Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody is.
Oh, man.
I'm just joking. He's Patrick Mahomes as well. Hold on. His I'm looking at his rating right now.
So some people,
QBR is different than rating.
And some people argue that rating is an antiquated notion of, and that's why ESPN came out with QBR. But when you look at these numbers right now,
it's drastically different.
It's hard to argue.
He's got a 57 QBR and a 111 rating, which puts him at the top of the list just behind Lamar Jackson. So like that's where I'm looking at Jared Goff, and I'm like, he's leading the team to wins. And doing it by being efficient, not turning the ball over. He has taken a few sacks, but not as many as Baker Mayfield. So that's like he's doing a lot of the good things that get the team to believe that they can win football games even when it's late.
This is probably stupid, but I'm going to tell you how I kind of want to rank quarterbacks.
Okay.
2 minutes to go. I'm down by four. I got the ball on my own 30-yard line. Who do I trust to score the touchdown to win the game?
With his guys?
Yep,
because I can't look at Baker Mayfield. Like he doesn't have Mike Evans. He doesn't have Godwin. Like I can't look at him and go, well, he needs Jared Goff, guys. Yeah. What his team?
I still think that I love him. So then I would say Goff's right up there. I still would be like, oh crap! If you know it, if Patrick Mahomes has the ball with 2 minutes to go with 70 yards needed, I know he has crappy wide receivers at this point. I know his numbers aren't good, but I'm scared to death that Patrick Mahomes is going to run it 50 yards down the sideline or something, and I'm going to be in deep trouble, and he's going to figure out, and their offense is going to figure out some weird-ass play.
Yes.
Like, they will figure out how to score this touchdown because it is Patrick Mahomes, and somebody's going to create some play that's going to create something crazy.
And that's why I believe Goff is there, because I think right now, with his guy, I think his guys are that good around him. It's a level team of they're all really good right now.
See, and then I think I would put Allen second. If we're going by that metric, because I will probably have Patrick Mahomes number one for like, I don't know, the next 8 years, probably under those directives. But then I immediately think at least this season, Josh Allen. But I think Jared Goff would be really high on that list.
Yeah, I think Josh Allen right now is, and I got to go look, I think he's playing his best in front.
Okay.
And I think like that's that situation, I don't think I've seen him in really enough yet, because even when they lost, they were down bad. Was that Baltimore that they lost to? Yeah, I believe. So and Lamar Jackson is a tricky situation for me because, A, he scored me 44 points in my fantasy league last night. He was awesome. And he, you know what? Watching him throw the ball the last few weeks, I've been like, wow, he's better this year than I've ever seen him at throwing the ball. But I still just don't know exactly how to take him and what he's doing.
And he has a major knock, and I like him.
Yes.
But if you are a 2 minute warning, you got to go 70 yards to win the game, and you're kind of somewhat maybe out of timeouts, or you can't really hand the ball off. Like, it scares me that Lamar Jackson scares all Baltimore Ravens fans. If they're in a playoff game and they're down by four with 2 minutes to go and they get the ball at the 30-yard line, they are not confident about that situation.
And I saw Dove Klieman yesterday, who, again, may or may not be a real person, say that Lamar Jackson is the unquestioned favorite to win NFL MVP. I love Lamar Jackson. I don't see it that way at all. Like, he already has two MVPs. I think the voters are going to have a hard time being like, you haven't even gotten to the Super Bowl. Here's MVP number three.
I didn't even know Josh Allen hasn't thrown an interception. To
I was
me,
surprised by it too.
Like, he's been in the conversation for MVP in his career. Yeah. Hasn't come close to winning it. Like, as in, like, I think it's between him and Josh Allen being one of those guys. So I think Josh Allen, I think the voters will want to get a guy like Josh Allen. If he ends up winning 12 or 13 games this year without Diggs, I know Gabe Davis isn't really doing much in Jacksonville, but with what we see on the field, if he wins that division and has the numbers of 25 touchdowns to 5 interceptions and ran it in 7 times, I think they're going to be like, hey, shouldn't Josh Allen get an MVP in his career? So I think lean towards him.
I think his numbers are going to just go up with Amari now on the
true,
field.
I forgot,
people might forget that too, but you're going to look and be like, good God, he's got a bunch of touchdown passes here.
Yeah.
Because Amari's a really great receiver. We all know that. But yeah, I think I'm watching Lamar Jackson better than I've watched him in a while, and I think I'm just seeing a different quarterback. I think what happened last year against Mahomes, maybe in the offseason he worked a little bit harder on his accuracy. I think that's it's a thing you can work on a little bit, but the decision making's been really good, and the decision to the right time to run and the right time to throw have all been really fluid for him. I've been very impressed with Lamar this year.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We will get back around to those power rankings at some point today. But coming up next,
It's time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Bacsik.
It's hard to look at Aaron Judge's playoff numbers and think he's going to do anything in the World Series next.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan, asking the questions that matter. Like, do you like to read while you're watching TV?
Oh, man.
877-881-1053. Let us know, because Corey was pitching something really exciting, and then he said, I had to read while I went along. And I was like,
I get it.
Either
That's why I warned you.
Now! It's time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Bacsik.
All right, Friday night starts the World Series, and it's interesting looking at some of the Yankees, because Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, never been in a World Series. I think we forget this because he was so young. Juan Soto's a World Series champion.
Yeah.
He was a great player at 20 years old for the Washington Nationals in 2019. In fact, I'll just give you his real quick World Series numbers in 2019. In the seven games against the Houston Astros, he hit .333 with a .438 on base percentage, a 1.178 OPS with three home runs, seven RBIs, six runs scored, two doubles in the World Series. He was a stud at 20 years old on the biggest stage. My main topic here is Aaron Judge. Never been in the World Series. I can't tell you what he's going to do in this series, but I think the Yankees are probably looking at it going, if we're going to beat the Dodgers, they're not unbeatable.
Sure.
But if we're going to beat the Dodgers, they would probably think Aaron Judge has to be better. Because so far in these playoffs against the Kansas City Royals, he hit .154 with a .620 OPS in four games. These are small sample sizes. So,
but still what you get judged on.
This is what it is. In the ALCS, in the five games versus the Clevelands, he hit .167 with a .761 OPS. And you can say, if you're a Yankee fan, you'll know these numbers I'm about to present you. But if you're not, you can say, hey, it's just nine games. Yes, he has not had a good place. It's only nine games. Now, here's the deal about Aaron Judge. I've given you these numbers, so I'm not going to make you guess because you have the numbers. But I think people would be surprised. He was a rookie in 2017. He already has 239 plate appearances in the playoffs. These are not numbers that can change a lot in a seven-game series.
And I'm guessing they're not particularly impressive.
They're not. He has 79 strikeouts, 32 walks. So if somebody's like, well, they probably aren't pitching to him. Well, they kind of are in 239 plate appearances. He's only walked 32 times, which is still decent. Don't get me wrong, but 79 Ks to 32 walks, striking out way more than walking. In those years of 202 at-bats, he has a .203 batting average in the playoffs. .203. He has, in those at-bats, he does have 15 home runs, which is solid.
Yeah.
That is good, okay? He only has five other extra base hits. He has five doubles, no triples, 15 home runs. So the 15 home runs are good. That's
sure.
his one stat that you can look at and say, statistically speaking, in 53 games in the playoffs, he's played in 53 games, he has 15 home runs. That is good.
Go ahead.
But .203 batting average and a .761 OPS for his career in the playoffs is not.
The kind of joke has been, and I don't know if you think this is a fair comparison, that Judge and Stanton flip-flop in the playoffs, because you have Judge who's like MVP, MVP, and then you get to the playoffs, and Stanton, I know last I saw you had like a 1.1 something OPS in
the
playoffs.
Yeah, I have it pulled up.
Okay.
Now, he has a lot of at-bats. Giancarlo Stanton, 149 plate appearances, 130 at-bats.
Okay.
He is hitting .269 with a 1.019 OPS in the playoffs.
Ooh.
So he has 16 home runs in 36 games. Wow. Judge has 15 home runs in 53 games. He has 39 strikeouts to 16 walks. Kind of similar, but obviously less strikeouts than Aaron Judge. He's putting the ball in play a little bit more. He has five doubles, no triples. Giancarlo Stanton, early in his career, he could run. As his career has progressed with injuries and stuff, he is not fast anymore. But it is interesting when you look at what he did so far in the ALDS. Giancarlo Stanton batted 375 with a 1.132 OPS. In the ALCS, he hit 222 with a 1.222 OPS. He did win the MVP of the series. So he had four home runs in the series. So he has five home runs in these playoffs. So it is interesting. If you look at Aaron Judge, history would suggest he's never played in the World Series. We don't know how he's going to do. History would suggest he's going to be about a 200 hitter with a 760 OPS. That could change. It's a short amount of time. You can have a good five-game or horrible five- or six-game stretch in the playoffs. But Giancarlo Stanton, this is interesting. If you are the Dodgers, you have the MVP of the American League.
Yep.
I know it hasn't been official yet, but he will be.
Yes.
And then you have Giancarlo Stanton, who kind of was not a major factor in the regular season. Nice player, but not a major factor. You still have to respect Aaron Judge more than Giancarlo Stanton, don't you, if you're putting together the scouting report?
Oh, man, that is a good question.
Okay, I think I'm to the point now where, man, I could get crushed for this. I don't think I am. I hear what you're saying. You make all the sense in the world. I'm looking at what's happened in this postseason and past postseasons, and I'm like, that's what got the Yankees here, is people underestimating Stanton and overestimating Judge's ability to hurt them.
What's been interesting to me is Aaron Judge, one of the reasons that maybe you could pitch around him being nervous, I should say one of the reasons you have to pitch to him, I was about to contradict what I was thinking. You have Juan Soto and Giancarlo Stanton batting behind him.
Yeah.
So it's like, dude, if we walk Aaron Judge, if we just pitch around him, we're facing, I will suggest, the best hitter on the New York Yankees, Juan Soto. And then behind him is a much better playoff hitter than Aaron Judge. When you get to Giancarlo Stanton, I couldn't understand this from Cleveland's perspective. The lineup drops off after Stanton, not to like it's bad, but there's Juan Soto and Aaron Judge aren't batting behind Stanton. And in fact, at one point, didn't they move Jazz Chisholm? I'm pretty sure they did. It was because of a matchup situation. They put Jazz Chisholm batting fourth and Giancarlo Stanton batting fifth for a game because they liked probably numbers that suggested something. So I look at it and go, your next batter to face most likely is Jazz Chisholm. And then, you know, you think of the Anthony Volpes and the Rizzos, and you're like, look, they're not bad,
but they're not those two guys.
But so you can pitch around Stanton way more than you can pitch around Judge. So in a way, I have to tell my pitchers for the Dodgers, hey, unless we feel like we have a lefty-on-lefty matchup we really like, we're going to attack Judge with good pitches. We're not throwing it down the middle and seeing if he's really bad. I think that he will hit home runs if we decide to do that. But I look at it and go, wow, Aaron Judge, a lot of plate appearances in the playoffs, and he's a 203 hitter with an OPS that is not very high. So it doesn't mean you just throw him down the middle, but it means that for some reason, so far in his career, he has not handled this big pressure situation well. Giancarlo Stanton has.
Mm-hmm.
He seems to handle this very well. And for Juan Soto, just to give you a real quick update on him, he does have 168 plate appearances. He has a 278 batting average with a 906 OPS in his playoff career.
I have a question about that. I don't know how easy this is to quantify. I know the playoffs are the playoffs are the playoffs. The World Series is its own different thing. Like,
That's why we don't know. Aaron Judge hasn't done it yet.
Okay, because I'm wondering,
Giancarlo Stanton hasn't done it yet.
If there's a possibility that, like, this is who I've been in the playoffs, but in the World Series, just watch.
Yeah, and that would be interesting. I don't have it pulled up. I know that Barry Bonds only made it to one World Series, and he did great in it. But there were times where he would really struggle in the playoffs. So anyways, it's not so easy to say this is going to happen because this is the history of it. But when I look at the three main guys for the Yankees, if you wanted to put them in order of the best to the least, I would lean towards Juan Soto as the best.
I would
too.
And
then Giancarlo Stanton and then Aaron Judge. But for the year, you would go Aaron Judge, Juan Soto, Giancarlo Stanton. Yeah. So it'll be interesting how the Dodgers attack the 2, 3, and 4 hitters for the New York Yankees and see how it goes there. Real quick, on the other side, I just have this pulled up because obviously this is the first time for Shohei to be in the playoffs. So there's not a lot of sample size. We've seen what he's done, what he has done this year. Four Mookie Betts in the playoffs, 316 plate appearances. He's played in 69 playoff games. Nice. He has a 258 average with a 767 OPS. So not as good as you would think. Obviously, he's a two-time champ. He won in 2018, and he won in the COVID year with the Dodgers in 2020. In the World Series, his first time around, he hit 217 with a 699 OPS. He had one home run. He had one double in that. And then in 2020, where it was played here, COVID year, he hit 269 with an 898 OPS. He had two home runs and two doubles in that World Series. Nothing special there, but, you know, Mookie and Shohei. The thing we don't know is their third guy is usually Freddie Freeman, but we don't know with that ankle what he's capable of.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Plus, nobody cares about your fantasy football team, but today we do. So let's hear those triumphs and heartbreaks next right here on The Fan.